So as I mentioned at the outset of Mass, here we have this reading, somewhat familiar perhaps, I am the vine, you are the branches, and as a result of that, without me, you can do nothing. And of course, that's not meant to be taken absolutely literally. We can do a lot of things apart from Christ. We can go to Walmart, we can go shopping, we can mow the lawn, we can watch TV, we can do all kinds of things that have nothing to do with Christ. But what he's talking about here is we are incapable of doing anything on our own that gets us closer to paradise, that allows us to enter heaven. On that score, we can do nothing. Another way to look at that and maybe understand that is to say that my will is insufficient to save me. I can't, by my own will, save myself. That's impossible. It's only the will of God that saves me. And as a result of that, we need to get on board with the will of God instead of our own will. This comes out in the Our Father when Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the will of God that saves us. And in that sense, we can do nothing in order to enter glory by ourselves or according to our own wills. Now, this is something that I think is perhaps not quite native to our nature. We are afraid. We're not ready to trust that much, where we surrender to the Lord. The model for that surrender before the will of God would be Mary, the Mother of God, in the Annunciation, where she said, after the angel instructed her as to the will of God, she said, "Let it be done unto me according to your will." Now that's surrender. And that's the kind of thing we're meant to foster in our own lives through faith, is that surrender to the will of God. Now, so Jesus says, without me, therefore, you can do some things and not others. So go and do what you can, and then when you run out of resources, come on back and I'll give you a hand. I mean, that's not what he says, right? No, he doesn't say that. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Although I think for a lot of us, we approach it that way. We say, well, without me, you can do some things, not others. So just go do what you can. And then when you run out of resources, then come to Jesus. And if he's up to it and in the mood, he'll help you. It's very arbitrary that way. And usually when we run out of resources, we get a little cranky, we get a little impatient, maybe our spirit grows a little bitter, we might be unforgiving, upset, angry, miserable, whatever it might be. That's a sign of us running out of resources. Our spiritual health is dependent upon the gift of the Holy Spirit at work in us to work sanity, to work freedom, to work peace. And so, without me, you can do nothing. Now, there's a variety of ways to understand that as well, and I tried to think of, in preparing my homily, what's some ways we might think of this. And I thought of one particular way that I'd like to share with you, and it has to do with the institution of marriage. I think it's no surprise to most of us that the institution of marriage in our culture is literally falling apart. Families, any of you who have children, you feel the pressure. There's a lot of pressure on families today, tremendous amounts of pressure, because the family in our culture has been falling apart for some time. And in part, that is due to the fact that we have worked over marriage going back at least to the 1930s of the last century. We've been working on it. We've been redesigning it. We've been refashioning it, reinterpreting it according to our wills. And as a result, what's steadily begun to happen is marriage has begun to be sterile. And that's what happens when something is apart from Christ. It withers. And see, the good of marriage has, over the decades that we've worked with it and redesigned it and refigured it out for ourselves according to our plan, it's begun to wither. Last week I ran across some statistics that I was rather surprised at about the family in our culture. In 2023, there were 23 of the 50 states in the United States that have now entered into the demographic winter. And nearly three quarters of all the counties in the United States have entered into a demographic winter. Now, some of the countries in Europe have been in this demographic winter for a decade or more. And now we've caught up to them. We've begun to, it's begun come back to our shores as well. And a demographic winter is when the number of people dying is more than the people being born. And so if you have more people dying and aren't replenishing the population with children, that culture is dying. That's why they call it a demographic winter. And we now have entered into that in 23 of our 50 states. And I think that's evidence for what I refer to as the withering of marriage apart from Christ. It's beginning to wither away, and that we're not replenishing our society. And a society in a demographic winter is in decline and will eventually, if it doesn't start replenishing itself, disappear. Now, what are some of the things we've done with marriage to render it sterile? I thought of just two, and I'll mention these two. And again, these are not going to be a surprise to anybody. But if you go back in the Bible to when God created marriage, he created a suitable partner for Adam named Eve, not Steve. Now, there's a reason for that. God could not have said to Adam and Steve, "Be fruitful and multiply," because Adam and Steve are natively sterile. But see, our state has now redefined marriage, and it's grown sterile. And of course, what's missing in the sterility is children. Children, they're part of the fruitfulness of marriage. When God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," he meant, yes, children. It's not the only good, but it is one of the goods of marriage. And that's something, again, in the church, we do believe children are goods of marriage. And in our culture today, children aren't so much viewed maybe as goods so much as inconveniences or something to be avoided. Because when you put a child in front of you, it's just a bundle of needs. Feed me. Change my diaper. I mean, it's like, if you leave a child alone, it won't survive. And that means the needs of a child are greater than my own. Now, that can be a rub. That can be a challenge. I don't have to tell that to the parents here. You're familiar with that, and I'm sure some days you feel like you're barely keeping your head above water. There's so much fullness of life in the home. Parenting is difficult today. Now, there's another way, of course, that marriage has been rendered sterile. Marriage itself is a beautiful tree God has created. It's got a lot of really good fruit on the tree. And as Jesus says in the gospel, in the beginning, God created them male and female. And for this reason, the man leaves his mother and father and clings to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now, see, the two becoming one flesh is the easy part of marriage. And the proof of that is it's happening so much in our culture. If the two becoming one flesh was hard, I don't think many people would be doing it. But because it's easy, that's the piece of fruit that people are pulling from the tree of what marriage is and taking it from its context where it thrives, which is in marriage. In marriage, that's where God planted the fruit. The fruit is coming from this beautiful tree of marriage, but we're plucking that fruit, and the plumbing is there, but there's no water running through the pipes. And there again, it's wilting, it's withering. And so we want this particular piece of fruit because it's easy, and we leave the harder parts. One of the more difficult parts of marriage is intimacy. Intimacy. I mean, I think most in our culture today are afraid of intimacy because it means into me, see. Well, I'm not so sure I want to have that happen. You might not like me anymore. You might set me aside, and that hurts. So we cover up. But see, in marriage, that's the hard work, is the relationship of that man and woman in marriage. But we're just going to take the two becoming one away from that context, and then enter the bridal chamber outside of it, because I'm afraid of intimacy. I don't want to go that route. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge of marriage. Intimacy can even sometimes be very awkward because we're not so much in control, but vulnerable. And that can be difficult for us. And so these are some of the ways that you might say marriage has become sterile today. And the demographic winter we're entering increasingly is the evidence of that. We have taken this beautiful good that God has given us, and we've taken it away from Christ, and so it's starting to wither. And see, our will, therefore, is not necessarily good. But we need to get back to the will of Christ for marriage and learn to recognize that that is how something stays good, stays alive, and we desire it to be alive. And I know some of you parents here, you probably have this experience of sometimes feeling like you're sinking, you're underwater, there's so much going on in the house. I know my family, we had 6 kids. With me running around and a golden retriever, that's a handful. I don't know how my mom and dad did it, to be honest with you, but they did. And it was hard work. It was difficult work. And you sometimes feel like it's such a mess, it's worse than spilled milk. But you know, I would take that, so full of life, over an antiseptic, sterile, lab-like environment any day of the week. The fullness of life isn't as clean and convenient as we sometimes might want it to be. We do get in over our heads, and that's a challenge. It's hard. Parenting is a difficult task today. It's difficult. And Jesus knows that. He gave us the example going up Calvary of what it means to place the good of someone else before your own. Like, that's what he did with us when he went up Calvary. He placed our good in front of his own good. And he died on that cross so we would live. Now, is that easy? No, that's not easy. But it sure is worth it. And that's where we begin to realize we need his help. For the good things to stay good in our life requires discipline, or we can lose them. For the good things in our life to prosper that are worthwhile, it takes hard work, and they're worth it. And instead of maybe abandoning those or picking and choosing according to our will, we need to surrender to our Lord and recognize he's there to help us. He's not far away. And we surrender to him. And that's the call of the gospel today, that we learn to surrender to his will and learn as best we can at different times to deny our own if what it's going to do is make something wither or become lost. Let's stay the course of Jesus' will and pray as he taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.